J'espère que vous êtes bien à notre écoute. Notre lunchtime en anglais continue avec la chronique Breaking Glass de Dennis Brough sur les séries télé.
This is Brough on the World Film Beat with elections, coups, and tax evaders. Venice Film Festival wrap-up. Outside, police at the Venice Film Festival massed for a climate march that saw demonstrators swarm around the red carpet demanding action on climate devastation globally, and in Venice in particular, where oversized cruise ships are destroying the lagoon. Inside, the jury was meeting to award the Golden Lion for best film. What they essentially effected was a coup. Roman Polanski's An Officer and a Spy was by far the best critically received film of the festival and led a poll of Italian and international critics by a wide margin. But the Lucretia Martel jury, after Martel had already denounced the film and then claimed she was impartial, voted instead to hand the prize to what amounts to an openly fascist film, Warner Brothers' Joker, thus clearing the path for that film to advance to the Academy Awards, now with the prestige of the Venice Film Festival behind it. Before the festival, it was only being talked about as a best actor vehicle for Joaquin Phoenix. This coup at the film festival contrasts sharply with a remarkable expression of democracy, a free election that took place in Italian politics this week. The Five Star Movement was about to enter a coalition with Italy's PD party, whose left neoliberal policies ally it most closely with the Blairite Labour faction in the UK and Joe Biden Democrats in the US. This party is everything Five Star claimed to be against, so in order to form the coalition, they put it to a vote of their members on their website, Rousseau, and the membership gave the go-ahead for the new government. This move to more direct democracy comes the same week as the Italian business press featured a glowing review of a book published in the elite headquarters of Cambridge titled The Will of the People, a Popular Myth. The newspaper's headline described the book as denouncing the danger of the popular referendum, and indeed, everywhere there is danger of people expressing themselves as the revolt against corporate legislators advances. The vote this week was part of the Italian people's thirst for participation. Returning to the festival, it's important to point out that the attack on Polanski was waged primarily by the two organs of the American film industry, The Hollywood Reporter and Variety. The Hollywood Reporter and its festival lead attempted to smear the festival as completely tone-deaf about issues related to Me Too, while Variety claimed in its review that Polanski's film on the Dreyfus affair was primarily his attempt to present his side of the rape and child abuse allegations and ignored almost completely the political import of the Dreyfus case. The Hollywood studios, along with the rest of the U.S., may be facing a severe repression, as well as the challenge of the streaming services, and one way of meeting these challenges is to downgrade the competition. Polanski is on the top line of European auteurs. The film cost $28 million, high for European production, and is sold well at the festival to the rest of the world. So to knock down the film, attempt to quarantine it, and to impugn the festival, the primary site, not only of Hollywood Oscar hopefuls, but also of the other two levels of European and global auteurs and independent production outside the U.S., does serve a purpose for U.S. business interests. The use of a very narrow application of gender politics, in some ways the only acceptable politics in the U.S. mainstream, to accomplish this goal is similar to the U.S. labeling Huawei a security risk when the company's major crime is to have developed 5G faster and cheaper than the U.S. competition. The Italian critics seem to recognize this attack and perhaps overvaluing the film gave it by far the highest rating of any film at the festival. Now to the best and worst films of the week and of the festival itself. The Italian film Martin Eden, based on the Jack London novel, attempts to use a number of Brechtian devices, including a displaced time frame, that do not work and only seem like cheating the audience. The better use of these devices is Steven Soderbergh's The Laundromat, which employs a whole range of clever devices to tell the complicated story of the slippery line between tax avoidance and tax evasion, revealed in the exposure of the Panama Papers. The initial sequence featuring Gary Oldman and Antonio Banderas as the lawyers who head the firm, which oversaw dummy companies around the world, is a mock 2001 opening, showing how the cavemen moved from money as barter to money as credit and paved the way for financial capitalism. Meryl Streep, in aging middle America mode, though without the menace of Big Little Lies, is resplendent as a victim of these shenanigans, who reveals herself also to be, as another character, instrumental in destroying the agency, and finally addresses the audience as herself, raising her hairbrush in the Statue of Liberty pose and urging action. Why were the two lawyers, one of whose parents came to Panama fleeing Germany in mysterious circumstances right after World War II, and their firm exposed? The two lawyers answer that the ruin of the Panamanian offshore firm drives more customers back to the American onshore tax havens of Joe Biden's Delaware, Wyoming, and Nevada. Best Hollywood piece to deal with finance, and maybe the best Hollywood film since The Big Short. A truly remarkable film in the main competition, one of two female-directed films, was Baby Teeth by the Australian Shannon Murphy, downgraded by several critics because it's a tearjerker, that is, it uses the emotional tropes of the women's film to make its point. The story of a teen dying of cancer who falls for the vitality of a young drug dealer is a heartfelt examination of how Western capitalist society is overcome by drugs, as each character in the family, except the dying teen, uses drugs to medicate their unfulfilled life. The father is a psychiatrist, that is another kind of drug pusher, who prescribes to keep his wife pacified, and his wife, who wanted to be a pianist, became a pill popper instead. This is the situation that together the girl and her wisdom, well beyond her years, and the drug addict boyfriend helped to remedy. He gives her the will to live, and she opens the family's eyes about how they fail to show up for her death and their own lives. Murphy admires Andrea Arnold, and the boy dealer Toby Wallace is a natural presence, and everything Shia LaBeouf in a similar role in Arnold's American Honey, which he ruins by his star turn, is not. There's not a wrong move here in the coda, where we find out the true wisdom of the dying teen as she, in a sense, leaves a living will, is a stunningly emotional scene. A film to watch for that will likely be dumped on the American and British markets is Sole, an Italian movie about two dead and millennials, one a young man whose profession is jacking motorcycles, and the other a Polish girl who's pregnant and must sell her baby in order to stake her claim to Western Europe. It's a sad fate for both and accurately describes the world many are left with. But the film, which suggests the two have each other, but is tough as nails in its approach, it does not skimp on the sacrifices each must make to survive. The final scene, where the girl's anger at the unfairness of this world erupts, and the boy listens, demonstrates that working class solidarity still exists, but today is bought at a much higher price. The docudrama Tony Driver recounts how its central figure, who transported immigrants and drugs over the U.S.-Mexican border, now wants to return to the U.S. after being deported to Italy. The Italian section, with Tony mostly keeping to himself, is less interesting, but the film swings into gear when Tony returns to Mexico to try to go over the border, meeting others like him who dream of crossing or who had crossed and were now exiled. The style of the film, especially the second part, is that of a TV reality series. But what the film accomplishes is to turn that banal and listless form on its head and view the world from the vantage point of the people those on Cops and America's Most Wanted arrest. The film, and its endearing hero, points the way to new possibilities for that form and the way it might be used to combat Trump's racist labeling of immigrants. The pro-war, which thinks it's anti-war, Netflix film The King, based on Shakespeare's Henry V cycle, instead of spotlighting the pleasures inherent in Hal's meanderings with the lascivious Falstaff before he becomes king, the subject of Orson Welles' masterful Chimes at Midnight, concentrates on Henry the Ruler waging successful war on France, with Falstaff dying valiantly on the battlefield. The surprise code at the end does not make up for the film's persistent warmongering. There is a scene, I kid you not, where the French king actually says, "Family is everything," turning the great bard into a Hollywood hack. What a falling off is this. The Chinese film Saturday Fiction has Gong Li initially in passive, seductive, fifth generation, a la Red Sorghum and Raise the Red Lantern mode, but finally she comes out of it to be a sixth generation action hero, a la A Touch of Sin, as she mows down the fascist invaders in Shanghai on the eve of Pearl Harbor. The transformation takes a while, but in the way it suggests Casablanca and its black and white, partly classical style, finally transforms her into Ingrid Bergman with a machine gun. Finally, mafia expose journalist Roberto Saviano was everywhere, exec producing Sky, Canal Plus, and Amazon 000, based on his book about how the global cocaine trade is what undergirds the world's economy. And as he is seen commingling with the Italian director with whom he is in a direct line, Francesco Rosi, subject of a documentary explaining Rosi's lifelong interest in exposing the link between government, big business, and the mafia in The Mattei Affair, Hands Over the City, and Lucky Luciano. Seek out these films if you've not seen them. My highly idiosyncratic awards are five best films, The Laundromat, Soleil, Baby Teeth, Adults in the Room, and Officer and a Spy. Best Actress, Eliza Scanlon, Baby Teeth. Best Actor, Pasquale Donatone, the subject of Tony Driver. Best Director, Shannon Murphy, Baby Teeth. Best Script, Scott C. Burns, The Laundromat. Best Documentary, Citizen Rosie. And Best Restoration, Out of the Blue, directed by Dennis Hopper. This is Bro on the World Film Beat, signing off from Venice 2019. Oh, change of mind, something
breaking glass all around. C'était Breaking Glass de Dennis Bro sur Art District. Très bonne suite de nos programmes, jazzistiques et artistiques, à notre écoute.